In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thought I would go over the readings for January 1 of Cycle C, which is the octave, therefore the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. And it gives us a chance to reflect on the Incarnation from another point of view. The title, Theotokos, preserves the reality of the Incarnation. The human being born of Mary is God. And that takes so many years of prayer and work of the Holy Spirit to have us grasp. But it's the foundation of everything. And therefore, Mary's divine motherhood, her title, as Theotokos, is the beginning of everything. And so, what I want to do is just look at some texts here that surround this title. Theotokos, Theos, obviously God, tiktin, to give birth to. So Theotokos means that this woman gave birth to God. What can that possibly mean? She didn't give birth to the Godhead, or she'd be God. But she gave birth to this human being whose person is divine. And that took centuries to work out. And it more or less centered around this title for Mary. Is it right to call her Theotokos? Did she give birth to God? And it's so shocking, isn't it? But that's our faith. God has come among us. God lives among us. God is among us. And so, the man born of Mary is God. Now, the one of the themes that you see in the readings is this notion of the face of God. In the first reading, we have the notion the term face comes. In that first reading, it comes later too in the blessing, and so forth. So I want to look at this term, face. Jesus is the face of God. What is a face? It's the whole person expressing themselves through the most expressive part of our body, the face. We instinctively get an idea of a person, even if we're just passing them on the street, by their face. The face is the, if you will, the person, the expression of the person. And so we find it used all over the place in the, as I say, it'll be in the first reading where it says, you see, may he make his face shine on you. But I want to look at some other places where we find this same thing. The Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom. And we with unveiled faces, you see, behold the Lord, who is, you see, you're being very transformed into his face. And we'll come back to that. I want to look at some other texts where we have this notion. You tell who somebody is by their face. So you want to know who God is? You want to know who the Father is? Look at Jesus. He's the face of God. He who sees me sees the Father. So anybody who says, well, I was treated badly by my father, I can't think of God as Father. Look on Jesus. He is the face of God. And if your idea of God doesn't compare to that face, you have the wrong notion. Jesus is the pane, if you will, the face of God. And so we have, for instance, here, therefore, this is 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and following. We have this ministry through the mercy of God. We are not discouraged. Whether we have renounced shameful hidden things, not acting deceitfully or falsifying the word of God, but by the open declaration of the truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing. If you try to preach, if you try to talk to somebody, and they don't get it, you see, sometimes it's because they haven't been graced to have the veil removed from their eyes. Pray for them. See? In whose case the God of this age, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. How many people, you know, look at the middle of the United States. It used to be such a devout place. And while there are pockets, it is definitely not that way anymore. Okay. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Christ. And now we have this text. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, creation, the first thing in creation, Yehior, by Yehior, let there be light, and there was light. It's this moment, fundamental, foundation of creation. He has shown in our hearts to bring to light the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Christ Jesus. If you see the face of Jesus, you see the glory of God. The doxa, the kavod, the presence of God. This is why it's so important and why this face, this feast, Mary, Mother of God, it's this feast which grounds all the teaching on the incarnation. If this woman gave birth to this baby, and this baby is God, because he is a person, and as person, he is eternal Son of God. That's why this celebration, this feast day, safeguards the whole foundation of the Christian faith. And so, I'm going to go on and read some other texts now. This is a text from the book of Revelation. There will be no longer any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, in heaven. And the bondservants will serve him. They will see his face. And you know somebody when you see their face. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. The name of God is the expression of who he is. When they tried to work this out in the Old Testament, how can God be in the temple when he's everywhere? If you look at 1 Kings 8, you have this whole prayer of Solomon. You're everywhere, and yet somehow you're in this temple. And the way that they solved it was to say, that His name is there. You see? And so we have this text. First is this one within us. You see? The heart, the sign of a good heart is a radiant face. You're walking down the street and you're seeing faces, and somehow you just know you're attracted to this face, to this, because there's a good heart being reflected through the face. And we do that instinctively. You see, withdrawn and perplexed is the toiling schemer, but not the face of someone who has a good heart. A good heart is a heart that's given over to God. The heart is the very seat of who we are. It's that place where we are in unveiled, unbroken communion with God. We are there in His presence. That's our heart. And if that heart is right, then the face reflects it. So God's heart is right, so His face reflects it. And so this notion of face is so important. This is another text now. If I have found favor in your eyes, as Moses speaking, let me know your ways, and I will know that I have found favor in your eyes, and I will see you, that your people are these people. And he said, my face will go with you. This is Moses pleading for God's presence in Exodus 33. And he said to him, the same thing, that my face will walk with you. My face will go with you. My presence. That's why Paul says, you see, that they all drank from the rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. He was the manifestation. That rock was the manifestation of God's care. And the manifestation of God's care is Jesus Christ, who is the very face of the Father. He is the Son incarnate. And that's what we're celebrating on this day. But I thought, because the word face is so important in the readings, that it's worth stopping to think, well, what do we mean by the face? You know, the last line, one of the last lines of the book of Job, when God is talking to Job and so forth, and Job finally says, I often heard about you, but now I see you face to face, and I repent in dust and ashes. Imagine that I would question you and complain about you now that I see your face, now that I know you. You see? And so that's one of the foundations of this liturgy, you see, is Mary is the mother of God's face. Mary is the mother of God. Okay.